Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Andy Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that's capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is Elise Wagner, a food and attitude expert with over 15 years of experience, a dual master's in holistic nutrition and health psychology, with a passion to help you stop food guilt, body shame, and hating on your body so you can finally live peacefully in the skin you are in. Elise's initiative to spice up your food, elevate your attitude, and love your body is encompassed in her new book, Nourishing, Succulent, and Savvy Smoothies. So welcome, Elise.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you, and I just love how you have this great blend of psychology, nutrition, and great attitude. I think that's what's missing a lot, Elise, in today's society, is just that positive attitude that we can change our health, and we can change and transform our bodies. Do you think that that's the number one thing that's standing in the way for people to actually do it?
Is attitude, 100%. I come from the thought process and the philosophy of anything is possible. And really, if we have a belief that we can do something, or if we have a limiting belief that we can't do something or that something's going to get in our way, I believe that we, you know, paint our future. We create our future with the words and the thoughts that we're saying. And one, you know, just changing one thought in the morning can be extremely powerful and lead you to a whole other experience for the day. So yeah, mindset is key in making any type of change, but particularly health changes, because sometimes those are longer. And while they are, they're more sustainable. So yeah, definitely.
So do you think that the attitude change has to come before, you know, changing what you're eating for breakfast or those sorts of things? Or can changing what you're eating, because as you say, food heals. If you change what you're eating first, can that help you with the attitude? It's kind of like the chicken and the egg. What do you think
is best to do first? That's a really good question. And, you know, I've got personal experience doing this really quickly. I grew up and I changed my food first before my thoughts and my emotions and my behaviors. And what ended up happening was I slipped into old behaviors and eating patterns and things like that. And so I had essentially kind of redone a lot of the work that I should have done the first time around. But when I work with clients, my main goal first is to kind of do some, I call it cooking up core connections. So we get really clear on beliefs that are possibly holding them back so that they can really start to tweak that and hone in on that aspect. And through that, through their decisions and choices, they can and do start to make healthier options and choose healthier options for food that nourishes them emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Now, you talk a lot about kind of DIY stuff, right? I mean, not the processed foods. You know, there's also the whole people think they're eating healthy because they're eating Lean Pockets and things like that. Talk about the mistakes people make when they think they're eating healthy and what they can do to change that.
Well, so I think there's some common, there's a lot of what I call nutrition noise. So misconceptions about food and the nutrition industry. And to be quite frank and, you know, just honest, that the food industry is not our friend. They are in the business to make money. And so that really requires us to be our own advocate and figure out what's going to be helpful. So big, big misconception is that people think that yogurt is really healthy. It's got probiotics. It's got a good source of protein and fat, which yogurt does, but I always need to dig a little bit deeper and say, well, what kind of yogurt? Where is this yogurt processed? Is it organic? Is it genetically modified? And most yogurt companies are not organic. They're not genetically, or they are genetically modified organisms, and the viable options for probiotics are little to none. So I'm a huge component, or I'm a huge proponent, excuse me, of making your own yogurt at home. And it's very, very simple. I know a lot of people think that's kind of out there and different, and it is. And it's also really simple, cheap, fast, easy. And it tastes really good. And it's really, all you need is 4 cans of coconut milk and a little bit of culture starter that you can buy at a health food store, and you're good to go. So
that's, and I bet you in the end, it ends up being even a little bit more inexpensive, right? I mean, because all of that packaging and marketing and, hey, buy me with the yogurt companies, that is all built into the cost that you're paying for that yogurt when you can just make your own at home. And of course, making your own, so much better. Now, let's talk a little bit about, because your book, Nourishing Succulent and Savvy Smoothies, let's talk a little bit about these smoothies. So this homemade yogurt, is that like the base for the smoothies?
Yeah, excuse me. You can totally use a base of homemade yogurt. Whatever you want to bring in, yogurt I classify in the category of, you know, it's healing. It has a really good source of fat and protein and also probiotics. And so I'm always like, where am I going to get some probiotics throughout the day? I want to make sure I'm getting some fermented or cultured type of foods that are going to help heal my gut. And so that's one thing that you can use. You could also use kefir, which is another cultured food. And so you can interchange them. And I'm also I encourage everyone, like, switch things out and try different things, get a variety. That way you're getting lots of different types of nutrients.
So what are the elements of a super powerful smoothie? I believe, all smoothies can't be created equal. When you go to the gym or something, you're at the smoothie bar, you know, I'm sure there's things that look like it would be really healthy, but then when you break it down, no, they're not. You're getting all the sugar and all this other stuff. It's kind of counterproductive, right? So what are the elements of a super powerful, healthy smoothie?
So I love, I've got like the anatomy of the smoothie, right? You want to have a base of something. You could choose water. You could choose any form of nut or seed milk. You can make it yourself or you could buy it. So those would be like almond hemp seed from the hemp plant. It has a really great essential fatty acids, really great source of protein and fiber. You could even do quinoa milk or almond milk or rice milk, those are more common. So having a base of liquid, and then greens, lots and lots of different types of greens, lots of variety. And you can start off small. So I totally acknowledge the fact that some people don't want to drink something that's green. And so you can just put in a little bit of greens, kale, arugula, some people even do lettuce, and then some source of a fat. So again, do your yogurt. You could do half of an avocado or something like that. You could do a couple, like 1 or 2 tablespoons of a nut butter or seed butter, and then a little bit of fruit on the top. And I'm always like to choose berries. Because berries are like antioxidant powerhouses. One little tip that I'm going to give you, something I actually did in my own smoothie this morning, was turmeric root. And turmeric root is the number one like anti-inflammatory food. So you can buy that, you can get them capsules, but putting a little bit of that in your smoothie is going to help with inflammation, and it's a really nice addition to any smoothie. It doesn't alter the taste or anything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what if you just have, you don't have the root on hand? Because sometimes these are kind of like exotic type of things for people. That aren't normally doing it. What about just the actual, you know, the turmeric, if you have it as a ground spice?
Yeah, make sure you can get the spice. But make sure that it has this ingredient called piperine or piperine in it. And piperine is essentially black pepper. And black pepper is what activates turmeric, and that's where you get curcumin. So, and that's what activates the goodness that it has inside of it. So if you eat the root, you don't need to do it, but if you have the powder, make sure it has piperine in it.
Oh, well, that is a great tip. And Elise, I could talk to you all day about this stuff, but we're bumping up against the time clock here. So I want to thank you, of course, for being here, but also remind the listeners that for more juicy tips and updates that you only get with Elise's weekly email updates, you can get over to My Kitchen Shrink, which is awesome, mykitchenshrink.com. elisehasfreeresources.com and sign up. Elise has loads of free resources and secret sauce tips to create delicious health, and find her on YouTube as well. Subscribe there, and you can pre-order her book now at mykitchenshrink.com. Oh, also, Elise is so nice for complimentary consultation. For those looking to make serious health transformations, you can email her at elise@mykitchenshrink.com. Thank you so much, Elise. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine. Jennings Wire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that's just right for you. Till next time.